My name is Mark. I am one of the members of the teaching team here at Shine. And one of the things that I like about this church is that the pastors are not jealous about who they allow to speak. So I get to stand up here every once in a while and talk about Jesus a little bit. And so I hope that I don't bring them any disgrace or anything. So that's awesome. I always like to start every sermon with a pun. Yes. My girlfriend decided that she was going to set fire to all of her bills. So I decided I was going to start calling her Bernadette. Yeah. You want another one? Okay, so I don't know if I told you, I was in this jungle one time, and there was this lizard standing on its back feet telling jokes. A lizard standing, yeah, I was like just shy. I was like, this guy's funny. I was like, is this funny? So I found this tribesman. I said, this lizard is funny. He's like, that's not a lizard. It's a stand-up chameleon. Come on. Come on, all the dads said, whoop, whoop. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So I am I get to continue this whole big series that we're doing this year called Overflow. So the idea that we are trying to encourage is that we get so much kingdom of God in our lives that it just overflows out of us. So rather than being a dry sponge, a dry old dry boot or just like not able to give or have anything to share with anybody, instead let's live our lives full. Let's live to overflowing. Let's live in such a way that people know who we live for. So we got on this idea of prayer. Everyone say prayer. Now, we've had some great sermons the past few weeks. Pastor Dan started it. He shared all the Greek words that are translated as prayer, but there are four or more of them, actually, and how they're used biblically, and that was really awesome. Helped me a little bit with that word and what prayer is intended to be. Then Lauren, a couple weeks ago, talked about how to have prayer in relationships. So I'm going to continue this series today on prayer and talk a little bit more practically about prayer. So I pastored for 26 years, and I noticed that every time I brought up the word prayer or had a prayer series or a prayer sermon, there tended to be a little dis-ease in the room. There was some uneasiness. There was some like kind of feelings. And what I discovered was that prayer can be a challenging concept or practice for people. And it's interesting, on Wednesday morning, I meet with a bunch of guys at coffee at 6 o'clock at Dawsbog right over here and have for a bunch of years. And I brought up that I was going to be speaking this weekend. And one of them said, well, what's the subject? And I said, prayer. And one of the guys that I would have assumed was a mature Christian, been around a long time, said, ooh, I don't pray enough. And that is the sentiment of most Christ followers, is that, oh man, I there's something wrong with me because I have a sense that that's something that I should do, but I just don't do it enough. So my goal today is to lower that expectation, that prayer is much more than maybe some of the ways that prayer has been described to us. So one of the places that I work at is Stretch Lab over here by Lowe's. I like to call it contemporary medieval torture because we twist people into all sorts of wild positions till they grunt and groan, and then they walk out feeling amazing. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I had, you know, like 15 or 20 people on my bench last week, and I told every one of them, hey, I'm preaching at the church I go to this weekend, and one of the very first statements, well, what are you preaching on? And so intentionally, I would say prayer and then not say anything else, just to see what they would say. And it was fascinating because there was this woman that was on my bench who was a part of a Christian cult growing up. And she said that, oh yeah, prayer. And she was just like spitting nails when she said the word prayer. She said, oh yeah, when I was growing up, you had to address God at thee and thou, and there was a certain posture that you had to be in, and we never held hands and we prayed, and the prayer had to have four parts to it. You had to address God, and you had to be thankful, and then you could ask him for something, and then you had to pray in Jesus' name. And I was like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. But in the sect or the religion or whatever that she grew up in, it just turned into this lifeless, lame deal where if you did it wrong, you were chastised. And so she was like, yeah, I haven't prayed in like 15 years. And I was like, well, I can understand why. And so prayer can have that kind of thing about it where we kind of feel that if I don't have the right words to say, or if my posture's not right, or if I've done some good things, then maybe I can approach God. No, 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 no. He wants our attention. He wants us to just recognize that he is the King of the universe. He wants us to just say thank you. He just wants us to turn our attention just a little bit towards him, and it can just be thank you. It can just be I need help today. Or you know, and he can handle whatever your heart is feeling. If you're angry, if you're frustrated, whatever, he can handle it. He would love for you to be in a position where if you're in that angst or consternation, for you just to reach out to him, because he loves to help us. The Bible says in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, he is omnipresent. One of his qualities is that he's omnipresent and he's everywhere all at the same time. But he's a gentleman as well. And he doesn't impose himself on us. But when we do say, Father, I need your help, he comes present. He comes close. He draws near to those who need to be drawn near to, if that's appropriate English. So when I was pastoring, one of the things that I did was I had a round table one day. I said, you know what? I'm going to gather some people together. And I'm going to poll, talk to them, ask, what's going on? Why is prayer, why does that bring up condemnation? And they were all really great. Do you guys remember, Pastor Dan, how long ago was that? That worship round table or panel thing that we did? Like a couple months ago. You guys remember that? A couple months ago, we had Janelle and Adam and Caleb were all up here. And we passed the mic and there was some discussion about worship. And some people in the crowd were very candid about how they feel about worship. Does anybody remember that? Yes, no, maybe so. So there were some people that said, you know what? I don't like it. What happened up here? I just don't like. I don't get into it. I don't like it. And some of us were like, stone him. No, we didn't do that. We were like, we just said, you know, that's awesome that you were honest. And then there was a gal sitting up here. She said, man, I love music. I love going to concerts. I love dancing. But you know, the contemporary Christian worship is just lame. And we're like, oh, okay. But it was awesome that there was that candor. So I had this round table and there were some people, like elders, and like they were like, you know, Mark, we just don't get into it. Prayer is just not something that we do. And so I thought, okay, is it me? Is it what I'm saying? Because one guy I was talking to a few weeks ago about all this, because I told him that I was going to be preaching on prayer. He's like, yeah, when I was growing up, there was this guy. He said, you got to pray 3 hours a day. You got to have an hour praying out loud. You got to have an hour in the Word. Then you got to have an hour where you're just you know, listening, waiting for him to talk to you. And I was like, who's got 3 hours? And so, of course, that's going to heap a bunch of condemnation on you, like, man, I just don't meet up. I just might as well quit this thing rather than trying at all. Forget it. So when I was talking to these people in this little round table, I was like, is it me? You know, am I finger pointing? Is it my tone? They're like, no, it's just we just haven't been encouraged in the right ways. And so my goal today, my hope today, is that I will somehow change what your conception or idea of what prayer is, and hopefully give you some practical, this may be the most practical sermon I've ever preached in my entire life. And no, it is not from ChatGPT, and no, it is not AI generated. I give that little disclaimer right up front because, well, never mind. So I just felt like I wanted to provide maybe some ways to think about connecting. Everyone say connect. Connect with God, because that's what prayer is. It's connecting with God. It's not this formality. It has to be this certain way. You know, when the disciples said, hey, teach us to pray, and Jesus said, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that prayer isn't intended to just be that. That prayer is intended to be a launching pad into other things. But sometimes I thought that prayer was, okay, it had to be a certain way, and if I wasn't in this certain position or didn't act a certain way or use certain words, that it was invalid. And that's just not true. The Lord just wants us to connect with him. He just wants us to be close to him. So I asked you all, you got a text asking you to read Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. So Colossians is a book written to a bunch of people who were starting to get kind of messed up in Gnosticism. And so the idea here is that this is an argument against not following Gnosticism, but stay close to Jesus. And he says here, he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. He has lost connection. Connection is the key word right there that I want us to zero in on. So the idea here is that Paul was talking to some people who were Christ followers, but they were starting to dissociate themselves from Christ and starting to think differently about some stuff going on in life. And so the idea is, friends, we got to stay connected to Jesus. Got to stay connected to the divine, to Father, to Son, to Holy Spirit, to the Trinity proper. So what the Lord wants us to do is just figure out how we're wired and how we work. Now, there is a scripture in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, and it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So Paul gives these boom, boom, boom. This is another letter written by Paul. Paul wrote Colossians, he wrote 1 Thessalonians. So he gives these three commands, and when I was growing up or learning about Christ in prayer, this verse was used often, and I think this might be one of the reasons why condemnation comes, because they pray continually. Well, what's that? How in the world do I pray continually? How do I do that? Seems impossible. So there has to be something else to prayer that allows us to be able to do it continually. There has to be something else to it than just, okay, you get your three-hour block in the morning, and then you live the rest of your day like a heathen dog. No, that's not what it's about. It's a lifestyle. It ends up being who you are rather than just what you do. So in Mark phraseology, pray continually could be always be connected. Just always be connected. Let there not be any gaps in how you are doing life from the divine, from Father, from Jesus, from Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So I think what this is supposed to imply is, you know, just always be tethered. Always be attached. And I think what happens to me sometimes is I start, maybe a day goes by and I haven't been quite attached as I should be or know I could be. And then I start to withdraw a little bit, and, you know, maybe a few days goes by and I haven't read one scripture or whatever, and then pretty soon I just feel just like empty, and then I don't feel like I can approach him, that there's something wrong with me. Does anybody else feel that way? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand, it's okay. So here we go. Practical, super, super practical. So I was relieved to know that there was nothing wrong with me when I went on a hike, went out in nature, climbed a mountain, and felt closer to God than sitting in these chairs. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all excused from coming to church. I tend to be more connected to the Lord when I'm sitting by a creek, when I'm seeing how he created the world, when I see the beauty of his creation. One of the reasons why I like to climb 14ers is because I like to be scared. I like the feeling of, wow, God is big and I am not. So one of the 14ers, capital, scariest one to do, hardest one to do, I've done 3 times because every once in a while I'm like, I need to be reminded that I am not as big as I think I am. And I need to just go for a hike and remember that if I had to be out here, I would die very, very quickly for any length of time. I don't have the strength to kill a moose with my bare hands and, you know, eat it, whatever. And then I was also relieved to know that it's okay to be to geek out on the Bible. To like see a word and be like, huh, connect. What is this connect word? What does that mean? What is the Greek word for this? And how does it apply? And how has it been used through history? And I geek out on like who wrote the books and what and who they were written to and why and all that kind of stuff. I'm a nerd. And I was like, is there something wrong with me? Why do I have this library at home of all these books on theology and stuff? And I just like it. I thought there was something wrong with me. But in actuality, didn't Jesus say, love the Lord God with all your mind? He did. Okay, so there's this cat named Gary Thomas. And he wrote this book called Sacred Pathways. He also wrote a bunch of other sacred blank word books. Sacred Marriage is another one. And what he does is he comes up with 9 different ways that we can connect to God that are using language or using ways that are different than what we would normally think. So, number one, a naturalist. I love God through the outdoors. Look, I am so weird. I like to take my socks off and walk in my grass in my backyard and water by hand. I will water my whole lawn by hand just because I love being outdoors so much. I water my strawberry plants, I water my trees and my bushes and my zinnias and fennel and all that kind of stuff, and I just I love it. And I love when it's this time of year and it's planting seed time, and I've got my, you know, 50 different seeds of things that I'm planting, and every once in a while I'll stop and I'll just look at a rutabaga seed and I'll just be like, you're going to be in stir fry someday. It's amazing. That little, I mean, it's tiny. tiny, and you got to be so careful. You're going to dump all of them in one hole, and you're going to have, you know, 14 rutabagas in one little spot, and they need lots of room. But I just marvel at what a seed is. So this dude, Bernard of Clairvaux, Clairvaux's in France. He was this monk. He said, "You will find much more laboring amongst the woods than you ever will amongst books. You will find much more laboring amongst the woods than you will ever amongst books. Woods and stones will teach you what you can never hear from any master." Pretty powerful, huh? So whenever I would climb a 14er and there was a logbook at the top, I would always write in it, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." Psalm 19:1. Because, man, when you get up on top of those mountains, you're just like, holy cow. This is glorious. You know what God's favorite word out of a human being's mouth is? One word. Three letters. It's a palindrome. Wow. Wow. You know, the average person only spends 17 minutes at the Grand Canyon. They drive up, you know, spent 18 hours in their car to get there. "Come on, kids, let's go look." And then it's like, then they're all like, "It's a hole in the ground." But no, it's not just a hole in the ground. We're his crown jewel. We're the only creature that has the capacity to be able to look on nature, look on beauty, look on art, look on creativity, and go, wow, that's cool. A sensate is somebody who loves art. They love color. They love music. The senses, sight, sound, hearing, smell, taste. They love to connect with God through the senses. They're foodies. Do you ever thank God for the Thai people? You ever thank God for the Japanese people, or Mexicans who put together the masa and stuff? Man, the next time you eat something, say, "Thank you, Lord, for the Thai people that put together these things to make this taste so good." But color, you know, I was at an art studio a few weeks ago, and I was just walking around just like amazed at people's creativity. How they put together a piece of wood and a piece of copper and a piece of string, and it turned into something. And I was just like, man, how did somebody think of this? But it was so cool the way it was just woven. And I was like, the human mind is so creative, and where do we get that from? Amen? Traditionalists. There are some people that love serving the Lord, love connecting to God through tradition, through ritual, through symbol. This kind of a church would drive them crazy. Because there's no formal, well, we actually do have our own liturgy. It is our own form. But there are some that, you know, they like the Book of Common Prayer, and they like knowing that this is going to happen next, and that there's a kneeling time and a standing time. There are some people that dig that, and that's totally awesome. So Anglican churches and Episcopal churches, they thrive in those kinds of settings. I remember when I was first getting into Jesus a long time ago, I was rebelling from tradition because there was no spirit in those churches, I thought. I need to go somewhere where I can be free and worship the way I want to. Well, it's fascinating that there's now a circle back, people getting away from spirit-filled, charismatic-type churches and going back to traditional because they find that they like the symbolism and they like the consistency. Ascetics are people who like to be alone, love God in solitude and simplicity. Activists love God through confrontation. So there are some people that love apologetics and they love arguing and debating and and confronting the bullhorn guy, right? The bullhorn guy out at games, right? That, you know, they love that stuff. Good for them. Caregivers, loving God by loving others. So having like a mercy, having a heart of mercy towards people and really caring, and get it floats your boat to volunteer at the Help and Hope Center. It floats your boat to go to Mexico and build a house for a week. It floats your boat to drive people to their cancer appointments and all that kind of stuff. Enthusiasts, I tried to read the chapter on it. I didn't get it. Contemplatives, loving God through loving God through adoration, right? So contemplatives, you know, a lot of contemplating, a lot of, you know, adoring. They're kind of like ascetics in a lot of way. And then intellectuals. You know, it just made me know that there wasn't something wrong with me because I loved to geek out on the Bible and geek out on theology and stuff. So that's totally cool. So here's the key to this, everybody, is figuring out what ways you connect to God. How do you connect? And don't just do what your spouse does or just do what you think your hero in the faith does or somebody here that you idolize. No, what's yours? What is the way that you would connect to Father? How do you do that? And then go for it. Then just make it big. So 333 years ago, a Carmelite monk died, and a guy named Joseph Beaufort got a hold of like his biography and some things, and Joseph Beaufort wrote this little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. So Brother Lawrence was this Carmelite monk who worked in this monastery in France somewhere, I believe. I don't even know. And he was just a cook in the monastery. He was never anybody in any kind of a pastoral role or anything like that. He was a cook. But he had to participate in the daily schedule of life. And so there was prayer time, and there was study time, and there was quiet time, and then there was work time and garden time and all those kinds of things. And Brother Lawrence was rather sick of that idea. And he said, why am I separating my cook time activity from my prayer time activity? And he said, I just want to pray all the time. I just want to be connected to God all the time. I want to practice his presence everywhere I go. So what I did was I highlighted a couple of little statements from this book, and I want to just read them to you. So it says, from the very beginning, prayer was of particular importance to him. No matter how much work he had to do, he never cut his prayer time short. Recalling God's presence and the love that resulted from it soon made him the model of his fellow members in the monastery. So they started to think, whoa, wow, maybe you're onto something here, dude. Although he was assigned the humblest duties there, he never complained. The grace of Jesus Christ sustained him in everything that was unpleasant or tiresome. I heard a story once about a monastery where they were not allowed to talk. They had to be quiet. And once a year, you were allowed to go before like the head dude, but you were only allowed to say two words. So the first year, this guy came and he said, okay, you know, Brother Philip, whatever his name was, go ahead, here's your chance to speak. He said, bed hard. The guy was like, okay, all right, well, have a good year. So the guy left, came back a year later, and he said, okay, Brother Philip, here's your chance to say two more words. And he said, food bad. So the guy said, well, okay, went away, came back a year later. What's his two words? I quit. And the guy said, well, of course you're going to quit. You've done nothing but complain the whole time you've been here. Anyway, never complaining. He never complained. Brother Lawrence began this practice by cultivating a deep presence of God in his heart. He said that God's presence had to be maintained by the heart and by love rather than by understanding and speech. I love this next part. In the way of God, he thought, thoughts count for little. Love does everything. Listen to this next part. And it is not necessary to have great things to do. I turn my little omelet in the pan for the love of God. Get your mind around that a second. So many times we feel like we have to do magnanimous things for the Lord. Just flip an omelet for Jesus. And when it is finished, if I have nothing to do, I prostrate myself on the ground before the Lord. Can you imagine being like the vicar guy? You come into the kitchen and you see your cook lying on the floor like that. Prostrate myself and adore my God who gave me the grace to make it, the little omelet. You ever thank God for the fact that you get to wake your kids up in the morning? You get to feed them. You get to love on them. Your kids grow up way quicker than you ever realize, and they're gone. Sorry. After which I arise more content than a king. Gosh, I just love this stuff. When I first entered the monastery, I looked upon God at the beginning and the end of all my thoughts and all the feelings of my soul. During the hours that were designated for prayer, I meditated on the truth and the character of God that we must accept by the light of faith rather than spending time in laborious meditation and readings. So all day long, I just wanted to think about God, just think about Him. By meditating on Jesus himself, I advanced in my knowledge of this lovable person with whom I resolved to dwell always. Have you ever thought of Jesus as a lovable person? During my work, I would always continue. Is that one on there? There we do. Yeah, during my work, I would always continue to speak to the Lord as though he were right with me, offering him my services, thanking him for his assistance. Also, at the end of my work, I used to examine it carefully. If I found good in it, I thanked God. If I noticed faults, I asked him forgiveness without being discouraged, and then went on with my work, still dwelling in him. Brother Lawrence called the practice of the presence of God the easiest and shortest way to attain Christian perfection and to be protected from sin. Just be connected all the time, every day. Frank Laubach. So this guy wrote this little book in 1953. It's called The Game of Minutes. Frank Laubach was a missionary in the Philippines to Muslims. Thousands and thousands of people got saved through this guy. The only U.S. missionary to ever be on a postage stamp. Not Billy Graham, Frank Laubach. Pretty austere, august-looking gentleman, wouldn't you say? So he had this idea called the Game of Minutes. The Game of Minutes. So the idea to the Game of Minutes is to try and think, do, act, meditate, whatever, on something divine, something godly, something Christian, something whatever, 1 second of every minute. Does that sound possible? Sounds like a hard task, doesn't it? How many of you think it is possible to do this? Anybody think it's possible? Yeah, it's possible. Okay, so this morning, I was out watering my lawn by hand, just walking around. I had my watch, which I don't have on, set, the timer set for 1 minute. So at 1 minute, beep, beep. Actually, it didn't beep. It just buzzed on my arm. So I would turn it off. And I would try and remember a scripture verse that I just remember. Just know, just like in me. One memorized, whatever. So every minute, I would repeat, or I would say out loud, a scripture verse. So a minute went by. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but everlasting life. Another minute later, there are seven I ams that Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and life. I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. Hey, there's 7 minutes right there. Got through all those. I went through the Lord's Prayer. First verse. What's the first verse? Our Father, who art in heaven. Thank you very much. An easy one. Give us today our daily bread. That was an easy one. What was the one you said last night, Pastor Dan? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So for probably 25 minutes, I was out there. One of the minutes went by, and I was just like, my brain just went blank, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. That counts. It counts. Just do something 1 second every minute. It is possible. I challenge you to try it. So here are some things in the book that he says. This is from 1953. We can get a little more contemporary from this. But so what is meant by meaning? So you win a minute. So he called it winning the minute, right? So you can pray, recall God, sing or hum a devotional or hymn. Talk or write about God. Write. So writing is okay. Seek to relieve. It's just anything. Do you right? Okay? It's just anything. Anything. Look up from wherever you're at and see a cross. 1 second. It can be art. It can be whatever. You can have scriptures around. It's just anything. Seek to relieve suffering of any kind in the spirit, in a prayerful spirit. Work with the consciousness of God's presence. Whisper to God. Feel yourself encompassed by God. Look at a picture or a symbol of Christ. Read a scripture verse, poem about God. Give somebody a helping hand for the Lord's sake. Breathe a prayer for the people you meet. Follow the leading of the inner voice. This is feels a little dated, doesn't it? But the point is, there's all sorts of ways. And so just as you're doing life, just think about him. And if you have to set an alarm on your wrist to do so, then do so. But here's what ends up happening, and this is so cool. It just becomes a practice. In fact, Frank Laubach references this book in his 1953 book, Game of Minutes. He references the practice of the presence of God. So I am a part of a prayer group right now that's praying for our country for 40 days, and we were supposed to buy this little book, If My People. So I'm in a text group with 18 guys, and we read each day, and somebody gets on there and says something encouraging, you know, in the group or whatever. And so to be very honest with you, sometimes this is the only prayer I do. I've gotten so busy that this is the only prayer I have said. I'm ashamed to say that this is it. Here's today's, June 2nd, day 33. Lord, your loving kindness is new every day. That'll make you stop and just ponder right there. Your loving kindness is new every day. May we forever trust in you with all our hearts and find rest in the shelter of your love. The very life we live comes from you alone. Bless us, O Lord, with the light of your presence, and place within us the desire to share your light so that others may come to know the saving grace of our Lord and Savior. It's the first time I've read that today because I was so consumed with what I was going to do here this morning. That's powerful. You don't have to come up with your own prayer either. It can be somebody else's. That's why the Book of Common Prayer is so awesome. All right, the very last thing that I want to share. So I am involved with a ministry called Mountain Gateway, and Mountain Gateway is a missions training organization, and they train missionaries to go out and go on mission around the world. And one of the things that they do is they take people on these backcountry wilderness intensives to help them learn minimalism, and it's amazing how your life changes when you take your cell phone away. And so some people are like, yeah, I want to do that, but I don't want to be gone for a year. So they develop these 1 week, well, they're actually like 14 days. No, not that long. 7 plus 4, 11 days. So 2 days on the front end, backpacking, and then 2 days on the other end. And we get all sorts of people from all over the country, and actually all over the world. Erase this next thing that I'm about to say. So can you hit pause for 1 second? So listen to this. You can't? Okay. But it's going out on the World Wide Web. All right. Okay, so ask me later, okay? There are some gentlemen coming from another country. That are like SEALs, Navy SEALs from another nation, that uses the Star of David. I was invited to go, but I can't go on that trip. Anyway, so these trips. So I'm a guide, and so I get to take people out on these trips. So I'm going to be gone next week for a training, and then I'm going to be gone the whole month of August and leading two trips. And so we've been challenged as instructors to grow or do something different by 1% every day. 1%. So in the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, there's a story, or there's the actual thing that happened with the British cycling team, where they decided that they were going to improve 1% every day at something. The gear they used, the way they ate, their health, whatever it might be. Now, does 1% sound like a lot? 1% every day. You're not adding a percent. It's a percentage of what you already have. Does that make sense? So let's pretend that my preaching let's use that as an example. So let's say that you all grade me, and my preaching is a 10. Funny, I use that number. Out of 100. So 10. So let's say it's 10. Did you make that up, Marcus? Did you do that?
No, but I can tell you it's 10.1.
Okay, so 1%. I messed this up last night. I was like, I mean, I was raised in California, so math was not my thing. So 10. So if 1% of 10 is so 10, then if you improve by 1%, it's so then the next day I'm 10.1, right? So then 1% of 10.1, 10.201, and then if I improve another 1% the next day, it's 10.303, all right? So you're growing, but it isn't like, so here's what some people thought. Oh, you go from 10% to 11% to 12% to 30%. No. It's slow. It's doable. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's doable. Just 1%. So we've been challenged as instructors, grow 1% every day. So one of the things I'll go ahead and share with you, I'm a little bit cavalier in the forest. I'm a little bit like not scared. Does that go together? A little bit, not scared? No. I am like grizzlies, bring them. I'm just not freaked out. You know? So what I need to do, though, I'm taking novices out into the forest who've never been there before. And I did need to be like, there's grizzlies out here. We have to be very careful. So I have to project, you know, a little bit of safety, a little bit of thoughtfulness. So anyway, so that's one of the things I'm going to work on. So as you go, where's the chart? It may look like nothing is happening at first, but then pretty soon, who you are ends up being pretty. It's same with finances, same with your money. You start saving money, may not look like much every day, may not look like much, but compounding it after a few years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you got $1 million or whatever. Same thing with your life. My challenge to you is just try and do something 1% different every day. Just 1%. Take down your whatever your in your home, maybe change your art up or something. Or just add some sticky notes in different places in your house so that when you're walking around, you get, oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. Not Mark is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. All right, good? Awesome? Are you challenged? Do you feel condemned? No. Are you encouraged? No finger pointing? Not like you aren't doing enough? Well, maybe a little of that. No, but think of connecting with the Lord differently, okay? That's the intention here. Okay, we have a few minutes. We're just gonna hear from you. What do you have to say? What are your thoughts? Now, when you introduce yourself today, you have to say your favorite flower with your name. So my name is Mark. My favorite flower is a Shasta daisy. Okay? So when you introduce yourself today, say what your favorite flower is. Okay? All right. The floor is open. I know, huh?
Hi, my name is Renelle. I just have a question. Oh, my favorite flower is lily.
A lily?
Yeah. Nice. My question is, and I don't even know which part in the Bible it comes from, so you're going to have to help me here, everyone. You know the part of the Bible that talks about don't pray like pagans and you babble. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah.
All right. So my question is like, you have so much thing you want to say to God, and yet for all he's saying, don't babble. Can you enlighten me on that?
That was a public setting. He was talking about praying in public. So there was a tax collector. So Jesus said there's a tax collector and a humble man. The tax collector, was he a tax collector or a Pharisee? Pharisee. He was just pontificating and just like being like magnanimous, boasting. And then the humble guy was just like, yeah. And then the Pharisee was like, thank you that I'm not a pagan or a woman. Is that what he says? No. No, what does he say? Oh, he's pointing to the tax collector. Okay, yeah. Forgive me. So it was a public thing. Whereas the humble guy was just like, man, just forgive me. Who am I? So Jesus was talking about a public setting. And when you're alone, babble away. He just wants to hear us. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Because maybe I've been feeling like, okay, I'm babbling too much and I keep going back. Am I not loud enough? Yeah, I was saying like when I... When I found that verse, I don't know if it was like a block. I was like, shit, oh my goodness, I keep saying that word. I was like,
Renelle. Hey, I wanted to say another word this morning, didn't I, Marcus? I wanted to say something a lot worse than that, just to see what would happen.
Yeah, so like when I was reading and I saw that verse, it's like you get this thing like, okay, I think I talk a little bit too much. Do I need to be still? So like, that's why I wanted to hear from you because you were on the subject of prayers because I babbled so much, it's not even funny, you know? So it's like, I just wanted to make sure that hey, I'm not a pagan, you know, kind of like.
No, there is absolutely a time for stillness. Be still and know that I am God. There is a time to be quiet and listen. Absolutely.
Hi, Mark.
Hi,
I'm
Kim,
and my favorite flower is a tulip. Any color, they're so pretty. I was just talking to my husband this morning because I knew you were going to be talking on prayer, and I was like, wow, you know, this is a good message because, you know, I really want to pray, but every word that I speak, I want it to be authentic, you know. So when people say, hey, will you pray for me, will you, or, you know, you just, you know, there's a lot about prayer, you know what I mean? And sometimes I think, for me personally, I can feel overwhelmed, you know, by the things that I might have to pray for, or if I see something on Facebook, hey, will you pray for me, or whatever, I feel maybe overwhelmed, but I want it to be authentic. I don't want, because of my religious background, I won't mention any type, but I just want it to be real and authentic, you know, what comes out of my mouth and then the time that I do have with the Lord.
So then is that thwarting you from praying because you want to be authentic?
Well, no, I don't feel like it's thwarting me at all. I just think that the time that I do have, it might be one just really strong, deep prayer rather than, like I was listening to conservative or the Christian radio the other day, and they were like, yeah, and we have this prayer board where we're praying over all these requests that come in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how do they do that? Do they do it individually? You know what I mean? Or is it just like kind of a blanket prayer? I know it sounds crazy thinking about it, but I bet I'm not the only one that thinks like that.
Next.
Okay, you know what, Kim? Just be free. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a long soliloquy of words that are just so amazing. If somebody says, will you pray for me? Or you see something like that, Father, help them. Help them. It doesn't have to be. Yeah, if it is big and grandiose and verbose and, you know, great. But it doesn't have to be. So don't let that stop you.
Hi, my name's Heather, and
hi,
my
Heather.
Favorite flower is the red rose.
Okay.
But it doesn't smell like it used to.
What?
Like they just... This, the deep scent of the rose, they've changed it over time. My mom's a master gardener, so I've grown up with flowers, and they just don't smell the same.
Huh.
Anyways, I guess I'm looking for something practical of how to move through praying for those prayers that don't get answered, that you've been waiting for years and years and years. And at this point in my life, I'm in a period of like this one prayer that I want so badly, it's not getting answered. And so it affects just my regular daily prayer life. Like, God, it's not going to happen. So why would these little things happen?
That's really good.
Does anyone have an answer? Before I say something, does anybody else want to answer Heather's question? Over here, right there. We only have one mic.
I've got
it. Oh.
I've got it, but I don't
want to
answer the question.
I guess for me, when I hear questions like that, it just always goes back to my mother. So she was just one of those people I knew that prayed all the time, and it was one of those things that was, you had a mother raising five kids, and she had prayers that were considered long-term prayers and prayers that were considered short-term prayers. But at the end of the day, she always said that short-term and long-term were terminology that man used. So, and she always, it always went back to God's timing and things of that nature. But she always also said that you have to thank God for the prayers that he doesn't answer, because it might not be God's will for your life or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, if it is God's will, it will be answered. You can continue to ask for the same thing over and over again. And over time, when something does happen, you might realize, oh, wow, the way God wanted it to happen was the way it was supposed to happen, and even better than what I asked for.
And I just want to add to that. Sorry. One thing that was brought to my mind when Ray was talking was, I don't know if many of you watched The Chosen, but in the first or second season, Jesus is talking to little James. And little James in the show is represented with having a limp. And he's mad at God for not healing him when he's supposed to go out and heal others. And this is when Jesus is sending them out in twos to go and talk and preach his name and heal others. And Jesus says, I can heal you. I can do that right now if you ask me to, but how much better is it going to be when you walk in my name and you heal others? And I have a different story for you if you're willing to have those patience to walk with me in that. Your testimony is going to be greater than your physical circumstances. Mm. And just the understanding of maybe my physical need and or my long-term prayer that I'm asking for is answered in a different light than what my expectation is, and that the long term, like Ray said, is more for a testimony for your commitment and willingness to walk with God through the unanswered or through answers that different from what you hoped they would be.
Does that help, Heather? Yeah. Okay, good. Debbie.
My name's Debbie, and I guess my favorite flower is when the lavender bushes bloom, because they smell so good.
You like lilacs? Like a lilac?
I love lilacs, too. Oh, but yeah. You said one, so, you know. I mean, I can give you a whole list if you want, you know, but hey. When I was reviewing the scripture that was texted to us.
Yep.
And I was when I was looking in the different translations, and I got to the NIV, and it said communication. And I guess it just got me thinking about, yeah, because like when Sam and I are communicating.
Connection? You mean connection?
Connection. Communication. In the, I don't know whichever one was sent to us. I don't know the addresses.
Connection.
It was connection. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I guess I thought of communication as well.
Oh.
And when I think of, like, Sam and I, when we've got great communication and connection, we might just see something like a bumper sticker and call the other one and go, just because we happen to think, hey, this is cool, I want to share it. Or I'm struggling with something and I want to share it. And I guess I've never thought about prayer that way. You know, I always set my time in the morning and stuff like that. But it is that connection and communication that when it's good, it's just sharing all those aspects of life.
Amen. Awesome.
Hey, everyone. My name is Tyrone. My favorite flower is petunias.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. Well, thank
$1.99 you. $1.99 at Home Depot.
I appreciate the opportunity to say a few things. First of all, I really enjoyed today enormously, and I really like the books you're quoting, and I wanted to ask if it's possible that with the books that you're reading, if you could post those on the website, because there wasn't the names in today's...
In the sermon notes on the QR code, there's no names?
And so that...
Okay. Yeah,
I really appreciate that. I want to say something about prayer. So there was a time when I was not a Christian, and I didn't know anything like praying at all. And all I was raised Catholic, and the idea was you just go to church and you say prayers in the book. And then I wasn't a Christian, and was kind of an angry atheist. But I had a situation happen. Due to my heart, I was born with a defective heart, and I had 2 open heart surgeries. And one situation occurred. I was going to have my leg amputated. And I didn't want that to happen. And I was in the hospital, and the surgeons came and actually marked my leg where they're going to amputate it. And I remembered a prayer that said, by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
And I said to myself, God, you're either real or you're not. And if you're not real, then this is the biggest hoax ever in history to mankind, womankind. So I am saying you are real, and I I am going to say that prayer, and that prayer belongs to me. That's mine. You made it for me. And regardless of the doctors planning the time when they're going to cut off my leg, I said, it's not going to happen. Wow. I said, God, this is not going to happen. That belongs to me. I don't care what they're telling me. I'm not going to listen to them, believe it or not. That's mine. And I had a miracle happen where I had a surgeon walk into the room before the surgery, said they don't have to take off your leg. And he had some nurses come in, and they had these syringes, and they pulled. What happened is I had internal bleeding. You couldn't stop it. And my leg was swelled up like a balloon, and it was going to ruin my whole leg. In fact, part of my right leg is smaller than the left. But he saved my leg, and he wasn't supposed to do that. I had to go in a surgery room to do all that. He did it despite the other surgeons. And I don't care what anyone says, that is a miracle.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And so what I'm trying to say is just that little tiny words that I heard when I was a kid.
There you go.
That little words, that's it. By his stripes I am healed. That's mine. And so with that, I since I have everybody's attention, if I could ask for a prayer for a friend, Michael Grelli. He has to have a liver replacement. And, of course, if he can't find that, it's a big problem. So if we could pray for Michael Grelli for a healing for him, for his liver, I would appreciate that.
Okay, who has the mic? Who has the other mic? You do. You get to pray.
Oh, me?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Michael Varelli.
I'm just going to say Michael. Okay. Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful morning and the opportunity of being here as a family, as a community. God, and we want to lift up in prayer Michael's life, his health, specifically for his liver. God, you are the God of miracles.
Amen.
And you are the God of the impossible.
Amen.
What seems impossible for us, God, is not for you. So
that's right.
Right now in this morning, as a whole church, as a family, as a community, we lift Michael's life, his health, and his liver, and we invite the presence of Jesus and the Holy
Amen.
Spirit to perform
yes, Lord.
A miracle. And right now,
yes,
by the authority
Lord.
Of the name of Jesus, we declare
yep.
that his
yep.
liver
yep.
is healed.
Yep.
Complete restoration
yes, Lord.
And renovation of his liver by the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Okay.
Hi again. My name is Rinnell. And my second flower is lilies again.
Lily.
So, you know, I was really like, oh my goodness, am I going to do this again? So, you know how you say, we have the Holy Spirit. And when you do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf, right? So you know how, like, not AI, but social media takes it over and you have all those Christian, like, everything has become so much in your hands now. Like, you can pull out your phone and there's an app that can help you pray and whatnot. My question for you is that, let's just say I do not say the words from my mouth. What am I reading in these apps or even whatever I'm doing, can it be on my own? Can it be a representation of me? Or I have to literally speak the words?
I don't want to say there's a percentage. If that's all you did, I'd say, okay, where's your heart? Does that make sense?
Elaborate.
If all you ever do is just rely on someone else. So the reason why I like these little prayers is because they're jumping off points for me. I read it out loud. Your loving kindness is new every day. Wow, Lord, every day your loving kindness is new for me. How amazing is that? And letting that be a launching pad for more prayer. If all you did was your phone, there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, I think he would like to hear your heart.
Okay, but then, and he said that if you do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf, right? Because he's a God that knows me. He knows my heart. He knows my desires. He knows what I want. So I just have to come to him, and he already knows, and I have the Holy Spirit within me that is doing it on my behalf.
True. However, I still think that there is an aspect where he wants to hear me. He wants to hear where you're at, even if it sounds elementary, even if it doesn't sound as bodacious as you think it should. There, if you're sitting here in a church, that's more than 74,000 people in this town who are all out doing something else. Very few people come to church, right? You've got something in you. Are you cutting yourself short? Are you saying you don't have something to share with him?
That is not for me. I just had to ask. I don't know why I ask it. I pray, and I really do babble. I don't know why I even ask the question, but I just remember my tongue went already, yeah?
Pastor Dan.
Okay, so it says in Romans that the Holy Spirit sometimes will intercede for us through groans. Who's the groaning coming out of? It's coming out of you still. And so to Mark's point, there's a time sometimes where we don't know what to say, and I believe the Holy Spirit will actually help us to just even groan through the agony of those times or those things. But then there's times where you need to just lift up your heart in what you're thinking, loving him with your mind. And then there's other times where you can use a book that has prayers and use those. I think it's a mixture of all, if that helps you. Yes?
Yes, it
helps. Yeah. Okay. I think Katie's got one.
Okay, last one.
Okay. My name is Katie, and I love lots of favorite flowers. I don't even know. What kind? Pansies,
Peter.
Maybe.
Peter is your favorite flower.
Yes, that's right. He's well great. Okay, I was reading through this one passage because someone said reminded me of it, and it says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They're standing and praying in the street corners that they might be seen by others." And it says, then goes on to say, "Go in secret. You know your Father who sees you will reward you." And it says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, so for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that stuck out to me, like they think they will be heard for their many words. Like that's why they think they'll be heard. You know, like, oh, you know, they're saying all these words, but that's why they think they're going to be heard. And he said, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he goes on to say, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And to me, like you were saying, like it's a starting point. It's like our Father in heaven. It's about relationship. It's about a Father who knows already what we need. And sometimes I've heard people say, or I've even felt like, well, if he knows what we need already, why do I pray? Why should I pray? And I'm thinking, actually, that is such a great place of peace. Like I can come to God just be with him and know that my Father knows me. He already knows what I need. He loves me. He's interceding for me. I can join him in what he's praying. I don't have to heap up all these prayers or, you know, think I'm going to be heard by all these words, like try to figure it out, try to get the right words. That's not why he hears me. That's not why I'm heard. I'm heard because he already knows me. He already loves me. And it's already settled. Like, I can come to him in confidence and peace and joy and just love and receive from him first, because I love because he first loved me. And I think, oh, that's freed me up so much in my relationship with him, because I think I can just come to him and, like, be with him and receive from him and be in that place where I can let him fill me up and then be able to live out of that, pray, and walk in relationship out of that confidence in relationship with him, and then I'm strengthened in the day to do those other things. Like when I spend time with him and receive his love, that I can be strengthened in the day and in other things that I'm doing, thinking, coming to him right away, and being confident in his love for me, and not feeling like, oh, you know, something comes to my mind and I get condemned or something, there's condemnation or like something comes in and like you can right away just come to Jesus because you know he's there with you and you're connected to him. So.
Amen. All right, everybody stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Here's how I'm going to end this today. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you shalom.